Because you cannot sacrifice your profession that you went to school for more than 10 to 5 years because of the instruction that is it's not in line with the law that you have been appointed. So how do you assist this accounting officer? And in the PFMA required again the executing authority to oversight on budget. But really there is no oversight of the from the executing authority. When we come to financial matters, you could, even when they are in a meeting, they refer it, and the HOD NIA is referring it to the CFO. You can see that these people, when it comes to money, is the problem of the CFO. But the two of them, you don't find them. It's either because maybe they don't have the financial specific requirements. But then, why do we have the law? I'm a lawmaker, I want to understand that so that we can look at it as we look at the PFMA. Why should the law say these people who does not have financial requirements, they must oversee on the budget? Because when they come here, they can't account. And you cannot force them to account. So this legislation, does it help us? Or we should look at reviewing it? And the person who is in charge of finances, who distributes, who's paying, is the one that must account. Is it not something that we should look at? Because we must resolve the problem. For me, legislation and policies are meant to resolve the problem. But if you have the act and policies that does not help to resolve the problem, it's a problem on its own. So, but if again is the other thing is the audit, what you audit, the material or what you call it, the non-financials and the... Let me say you have a government that has been getting clean audit for 10 years, but you get another sector come and, not a sector, and a company or organization audit, not audit, I've used the wrong way, not audit, assess the impact. As one member has asked it, you find that these people, they've not been responding to the priorities as laid down in government. But they've been getting a clean audit. Are we auditing correctly? For instance, I'll give an example that the NDP sent to reduce poverty, narrow the gap of inequalities, and government is expected to contribute in establishing jobs. In other chapters of NDP, like in agriculture, it states what should happen. But you have this department getting an unqualified audit, but there is no implementation of those elements in the NDP. Is it the audit? How do we expect ordinary to interpret the audit itself? Thank you very much.
Okay. One thing, I forgot to look many papers in presentation.
The country is known as the most corrupt country. Is in commissions, state culture, and what you call. The question that one would like to ask, where were you? where does it start, and then when do you start to make corrections? Because I would imagine that it's not a one-day issue where millions have gone missing. Where were you? That's what we are asking, is that your role, is it really to help government? Tell us, maybe we didn't understand you well. Thank you.
I Thank you, Chairperson.
Hello, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have a problem with irregular expenditure that was done on the Lesotho Highlands Water Project. And it is a lot of money that was budgeted for that project. It is not yet complete, and its period of it having been done has already lapsed. So what I want to know from you is that what are you doing about this irregular expenditure? Have you just left it? Are you making a follow-up? And if there were people who were acting in that position of making sure that that project is complete or is done, are you going to make a follow-up on those people so that at the end of the day they must pay all the money that they have used for other, you know, purposes except the one which the money was meant for? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Auditor General, I know you have 10 minutes because you have to work to another day to respond to all the questions.
Chair?
Hi.
Sorry, can I just quickly just ask something?
Okay.
I think this feminist, my colleague did raise this Lesotho Highlands project. I want to ask from the Auditor General, because I believe that the Lesotho Highlands project also did receive every month, they receive royalties from South Africa. Even if they provide us 10 liters of water, or even if they don't provide us any water, they get that X amount, which is, I think, something like 75 million per month. I want to see a situation where we go back, because, I mean, it cannot be that you enter into an agreement which can say that you are secure that you get every month your money, but we are not secure that we will get every month X amount of water. And I think it is time that we need to go back and revisit that agreement that we have with Lesotho, because, I mean, it's a lot of money. It is not, I mean, 75 million a month is a lot. So that is that MOU. Can we go revisit that MOU?
I think 10 minutes, Auditor General.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to attempt to answer. So I'm going to start, and then I'll ask Monaloza and Ture to add on. The first question was around who is then accountable. If we look at the irregular expenditure and we're saying 80 to 90% has not been investigated, the PFMA gives solely that responsibility to the accounting officers. So the DG is responsible and accountable to investigate, to determine accountability, to stop irregular expenditure, to prevent irregular expenditure, and to implement consequence management. So it is the accounting officer, the DG, or the accounting authority, the board, that is responsible to do that. The mandate for the amended Public Audit Act and the referral to public bodies, so that is the new amendments that came in with effect from 1st April 2019. So we wouldn't have had that powers previously to refer to public bodies. As we're in this process, there will potentially be, from the 16 identified auditees, there might be referrals depending on whether we then say it's sufficient, recommendations, or referrals. But prior to now, there wouldn't have been any referrals. The fruitless and wasteful expenditure, I'm not 100% sure what Treasury will do in terms of the collection back, but once again, it's the accounting officer's responsibility. If there's fruitless and wasteful expenditure, similar to irregular expenditure, the accounting officer is empowered, has the delegation, the authority to investigate and to collect. With fruitless and wasteful expenditure, they cannot condone. So with irregular expenditure, they can investigate, and if they see, well, it was only procedural, there was still value for money, there was no financial loss, I mean, that procedural inaccuracy can be condoned. But when we look at fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we're saying it's money that was paid in vain and could have been prevented. So the accounting officer will have to make sure that they investigate it, identify the accountability, and collect that money that was paid in vain. So who can make the HOD or the DG then to implement the recommendations or the issues that has been identified? HODs are, I mean, and accounting officers is reporting to ministers. From where we are sitting, we are empowering ministers at a regular basis. We're informing them. So they will be the first line. Then secondly, we also indicated that there's certain information that will be available to portfolio committees. SCOPA is having hearings, so they can enforce. So it will be between executives and parliamentary roles and functions that will be able to make HODs implement. And then also when we look at the amendments to the Public Audit Act that came into effect from 1st April this year. So if an accounting officer don't implement the recommendations and don't act on what was recommended, then also from the Public Audit Act, there can be consequences to the accounting officer, and that can also then enforce the accounting officer to implement. The delayed findings and audit process, I think throughout the years we started and we're doing interim audits, so we are trying to be more relevant and in year with certain findings and certain processes that we are doing. And then I've also indicated that we're doing the status of records review. It's a process that has been implemented 2-3 years back, and the intent is really to identify the control weaknesses that is there, the risky areas, and to then enable management and the executives to say, these are the areas that will prevent you from achieving unqualified in terms of doing what you're supposed to do. So the audit in itself is something that is looking backwards on the financial year, but with this initiatives that we've put into place in terms of the interims, the status of records review, the regular engagements with accounting officers and executives, we are trying and we are providing information to enable. Then, if I can just see where I am. This, the service delivery. So in the first slide we said that when we are looking at audit is not to confirm whether there was service delivery or not. What we do is, I mean, we will audit the APP to make sure that it meets the SMART principles, and we need to audit the annual performance report to indicate whether the information that is being reported is credible. So even if a department comes and they did nothing for the year, and they report in the APR that they achieved zero of their targets and indicators, if that is supported by audit evidence and we say that is accurate, we are telling the readers out there that zero achievement is what this departmental entity achieved. And then it is portfolio committee, the oversight, then to say, well, this has been confirmed. It's credible information. You haven't achieved what you set out. So that is the first point. But I would also want to say that we are mandated and we have to audit the annual performance plan as it has been approved. We're not part of that approval process. So when departments and entities come and submit that performance plan, it's important to make sure that those indicators really speak to the matters that is important and that should be addressed. Because then when we audit it and get assurance or confirmation that it's correct, I mean, then we can talk towards service delivery. But we often see that some department entities will only include to say, prepare 4 reports. Yeah. If the APP has been approved to prepare 4 reports, that is what we have to audit. We can't go beyond that and say, okay, no, this is... So that makes our task difficult, and then at the end of the day, the value that is being received from the information is being restrained. So that would be my advice, that there is more scrutiny when the plans is being submitted. consequence management. The question was, will the Public Audit Act result in consequence management? And yes, definitely, it will result in consequence management, taking into account that through that process, we want to have accounting officers taking back that responsibility and full accountability. So for us, consequence management should start with the accounting officers and accounting authorities. If they don't implement it, then definitely the additional powers that was given will then ensure that there is consequence management on the accounting officers. Will the consequences follow the accounting officer? So if one accounting officer was responsible for irregular expenditure or fruitless expenditure, it should. The accounting officer that is appointed at the point in time should investigate. So it will be upon that accounting officer to then follow up, identify who is the accountable person. If it was the previous accounting officer, it's the current accounting officer's responsibility to determine and to still make sure that they collect it. If the current accounting officer don't follow up on the person who left the organization and don't do anything, unfortunately, the current accounting officer will then be accountable, because that is how the amendments to the Public Audit Act is structured, to say we allow the accounting officer to do what he or she is supposed to do. If they fail to do that within the time allowed, then the current accounting officer will be held accountable. So if we issue a certificate of debt and the accounting officer then leaves, that certificate of debt will then also follow the accounting officer, because it will be issued in that person's personal capacity. It's only when a person passes away, there is no intention to collect money from estates and things like that, because that will be unfair. But as long as the person is still around and in the system, they will be accountable and responsible. Can I ask that you answer on the others?
Just on the Amatola, La Pele, and the Seribeng, if I can refer you to slide 41, on the third bullet on that slide, what we are saying is that there is concerns on the financial health for those three due to the fact that their creditors' payments are very long. But that is actually mainly the department that is at fault, because those water boards are implementing agents. So now with the financial issues at the department, they might sometimes not pay in time to the water boards for them to pay their contractors at the end of the day. So that is that link. Okay. Hey, you are putting me under. What the AG has done, we have taken back that audit for TCTA. So we have now audited them for the 18-19 year. So when we come back in October and we provide you that reasons, please keep your questions then for my colleague who's auditing it. Yeah, the audit has not yet been finalized. They are busy with CCTA and water trading still, so we are anticipating to sign it off by the end of September.
Okay. I think Corneille has covered most of the questions. There was a question on, is there no one that can be held responsible for fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which I think we've touched on that. And then the CISOs, where the member requested that we assist management. I think we've got a very good working relationship with the management at CISOs. We try and assist as much as we can, obviously through the audit processes. But I think management and the board acknowledges the issue. It's just been a challenge in terms of how it can be done. So it's not from a lack of trying to resolve the issue, and it's been happening for the past 3 years. It's just a matter of what is the best way to do it. There's been a number of attempts to try and resolve the issue, but they don't always work out to address the entire issue. And on the Free State, Mpumalanga and Gauteng, what becomes the area of focus for us. Again, it talks to who then is responsible to investigate, the non-compliance with SDM processes, which would be the accounting officer, which Cornelia again has spoken to. I think it's a similar question. What are we planning to do with the irregular expenditure in Free State? We at this point, because this amended mandate is not retrospective, unfortunately. So what we've reported, that's all we could do, report on it and then rely on the accounting officers. But unfortunately, so this is not retrospective. So it's only going forward that when we then raise these issues, and if they become material irregularity. And there was a question on around wrongly applied for. I wasn't sure what that one related to. I'm not sure if I just noted it. There was a comment on something of being wrongly applied for. Yes, I'm not sure what the question relates to in terms of context and clarity. It's the procurement process. Oh, okay. It's how the points are calculated for all the bidders. So there's a formula that is used, to assess all the bidders and give them points. So in that process, then management or the bid, evaluation committee members would then use that formula incorrectly. So for example, if instead of you being given 75 points, so that formula is then used incorrectly, and then you end up getting 69 points, and I get 65. So when we then re-perform that calculation, we identify issues that the formula itself was done incorrectly. Mm-hmm. So now that has got the impact of that is that the wrong person then gets awarded the tender or the contract.
Mm. Because they didn't deliberate.
Yeah, no. As auditors, we do not reach that conclusion. We just report that for this particular award, the formula was incorrectly done. I think Chair, it's about. I think the one was around frustration of contractors. So when we do that process in terms of the key projects, there's a number of reasons I think I did mention. So sometimes it would be the fault of the contractor themselves in their, through their inefficiencies and, they don't necessarily use the funds the way they should be. But there are instances where it is the provincial department itself that would then frustrate the contractor. So in our reporting on that value at work, we do specify the reasons.
No, thank you very much. I think because we're still going to interact with you during our annual report, BRRR, we're still going to engage on these issues. And we'll get used, particularly new people, they will get used of the terms as we proceed. Like as we struggle, irregular expenditure and all those things in terms of finances would lend them as we proceed. Even ourselves who have been in the system, we're still struggling to understand them. That's why learning it's a continuous thing for human beings to be capacitated. And thank you very much for accepting our invitation, and we've learned a lot. You have our support. By the way, you are our partner in this work. There is some instances where we would need you to, or maybe I must ask if there's a question. For instance, as we work with we realize that there is a problem. Like, for instance, where I come from, I was the chair of agriculture, fishery and forestry. We've discovered in, as a part of our work that management from director level, they give themselves bigger notch. they've not followed the process of assessment and development, but it has not been picked up, and we said, can't Auditor General go into that specific, because there is this tendency of officials giving themselves a director already, doesn't even have 2 years already, that's a third notch, the last notch. And those things becomes a problem in the system, affects the budget of those officials who work honestly, supposed to be getting bonuses through their performance, and it makes those that are cleaners and you know those people who are supposed to be given that bonuses which they would appreciate, it's sometimes that we find that there is no budget for those things because this senior management pushing their notches without proper assessment. I will appreciate that even as you do audit, particularly where there are problems, because you cannot have a system that is collapsing and people are earning as chief directors and DGs, DDGs. It's a problem. So I think it would be important that we go even into those that area. As I've indicated, your goods and services, that's where the money is being hidden and used for the purposes that does not impact on the priorities as set by government. I think as we continue, let's look at those issues and see. At least in our sector, we must start, because I started in agriculture, obviously because I've left, it might die. And please tell the lady in Komapi, is it Komapi, still there, in Auditor General. Yes, you must follow up those things, it's wrong. And corruption actually is at its best. Thank you very much. We should run to V227, the other meeting, and the Amankral Crisis Committee and Municipality and the Minister and the other members, they are waiting.